Hello, everyone. This is Steli FD.
And Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about SaaS pricing.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So this has been a requested episode. This is something a lot of people want us to talk about. There's a lot of great resources out there that already talk about pricing. But I know that we have a lot of thoughts on this. So people want to hear us talk about this topic. So let's chat about that. What's your overall framework when it comes to figuring out pricing? Let's start from a new SaaS app perspective. We can talk about later on, like, changing pricing if you feel like you haven't gotten it right, because that's a challenge in itself and an interesting one. But you build a SaaS product and you're trying to figure out what should be the price that I set for this. What's the framework that you use? What are mistakes that people make? What's the way that you think about this?
Okay. So I just looked through my email and I get about 2 or 3 emails a day from people, whether it's internal team, external, about with the word pricing in it. Right. And this is not sales. This is like literally questions on pricing or pricing updates or something, right? Like something in there. And then if you count all the other ones, you're talking about I think it's about a dozen emails a day with pricing in it. Mm. Right. So like at least, you know, 5, 6 tactical, and the rest are just like, we had pricing changes or whatever. It's super interesting of how popular of a topic this is. I think my opinion on pricing has a lot, the core of it starts with, there's a lot of resources out there on pricing. There's the Price Intelligently blog, which is the one that has branded themselves, and that company, they're friends of mine. I like them. They've helped me with pricing and helped a lot of SaaS companies with pricing. So I say read their blog. Literally, you can read their blog if you don't have the money to pay them and get 90% of what you need in terms of like learning how to do it and having probably a better shot than I ever did at doing pricing whenever I had to do it without their blog. So all of our team reads it when we're working on this stuff. It's not even an endorsement. It's like, that's the source right now. And there's a bunch of other blogs that are like, you know, Baremetrics blog and a bunch of others that are helping you monitor your pricing and stuff. So some of those have great content on pricing. Although I'd say that Price Intelligently has the most experience with SaaS pricing. So I do that first. But outside of that, I think there's one fundamental thing that I see a lot of people forget. There's things like value-based pricing, feature-based pricing, and all this chopping up. But fundamentally, like, the reason you have pricing is so that you're reducing the amount of friction it takes for someone to buy from you. And your pricing has to do that. That doesn't mean your pricing is simple. That doesn't mean anything except that like you're trying to make it easy to buy. And I always come back to that every time I think about the pricing, even on complex pricing, because sometimes complex pricing makes a lot of sense, right? Because the way you're getting people to pay is through like a freemium product. Mm. So you might want to find all the different ways they can pay. And that might require a lot of complexity, or you might be trying to do a lot of things with your product. And so different departments, different teams, different people want to pay a different way, right? Because you're trying to reduce the amount of friction it takes for someone to buy. Right. That's like the core of pricing. For example, if people are paying for your product on a per page view basis, it's probably not the best idea to charge them per seat. Right. And from a, this is just personal experience, but in an analytics company, there's a lot of analytics companies. A lot of them try to add per seat pricing into their model, but then they go back to per session, per page view, per visit, per event, or something like that, because seats don't matter in analytics, because not everyone in the company is typically using an analytics tool.
Yeah. And also,
So that's just an example.
But that's also because the value that your product creates for them is increasing by the size of data that they have to look at. So it makes sense for you to charge more in that level because you create a lot more value.
Well, they're just used to paying for it like that.
I think
one of your point is valid.
Yeah.
But they're just used to paying. Yeah. And that's the biggest, I think that's the biggest pull you have towards pricing is how they want to pay for it.
Mm.
And that's the lens I don't see enough conversation about.
So if I wanted to challenge you on this, I know, I'm pretty certain I know what the response is, but I'll do it anyways because I think this is a valid thought at least, is, well, if at the core of pricing is the question, how do I make it as easy as possible to buy? Zero is the right price for everything, right? Because that wouldn't that make it the easiest for everybody to buy? I know the answer is
not
yes.
But they're not buying. At zero, they're not buying.
But they're not buying.
They're using.
Yeah, okay.
They're users. Fair. Like literally, they're not a customer. Like in technical terms.
Technical terms. That's true. But let's say then, you know, $1, $1, like whatever the cheapest, insanely cheapest thing that you can think of.
You got them. You got them to pull out their credit card. Right. And now it's your job to get them to pay you more if you can add more value to their lives.
So, by the way, I don't think that that's even true, because I think that for certain products, like in the enterprise world, very, very cheap could make them not want to buy.
They don't buy. Yeah. Buy, and, right? And what I'm saying respects that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's reducing friction. So if enterprise says, I want to pay you more for X, Y, and Z, and you say no, you are increasing the friction it takes for them to buy. Right? Yeah. And enterprise is way typical of this, right? Because like historically, enterprise products have been built by this process. They hear it in sales. They build it in product and engineering, or R&D, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And then they hear it in sales and they build it. And then sales sells it. And then they build it. And then sales sells it. And then, you know, it's just this back and forth. And so in that case, they're just reducing the friction to purchase.
Yeah.
Even in enterprise.
So here's a framework that I've used a lot of times with people on the pricing side. And I'm curious to hear how you think about this. Because from a sales perspective, what I see a lot of B2B SaaS companies go through is that they are trying to set a price that will reduce any type of friction where somebody could bring up price as a reason not to buy, which very much aligns with the philosophy that you've said, right? At the same
time, it's the other side of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I truly believe that if 100% of your customers are saying, oh, pricing was never even a topic, you're charging too little. I feel like you're at kind of the right equilibrium of things.
When some people say no.
When some people say this is cheap, some people say this is too expensive, and the most people feel like this is the right price for the value I'm getting.
Yeah.
So you're not trying to optimize to get everybody to say this is
so
inexpensive, I don't even think about it.
But again, there's all kinds of alternatives to that. Let me give you an example. If too many people are saying no, how do you know there's too many people saying no? And I don't think I've never heard a good answer to this. How do you know that too many people are saying no, or too little people are saying no, or too many people are saying it's too cheap? Like it's very hard to quantify this because like most people don't have enough data. They don't have enough no's. They don't even log the no's in that way.
Most founders of a new SaaS only need one prospect to say this is too expensive to instantly change their pricing.
So that's the worry, early stage. Yeah. That's the problem. So you're saying if just because the first person says no doesn't mean your pricing is wrong.
Yeah, doesn't mean your pricing is wrong. Doesn't mean this is the right buyer.
Okay.
So you need to hear a bunch of people tell you this is too expensive. A bunch of people you need to hear a mix of things to know where you are in the spectrum.
Okay, so this is earlier pricing.
Yeah.
If you're just sort of offering it and you're sort of doing it through sales calls or inbound or whatever.
Customer development. You talk to people, they ask you what would it cost, you say, and they go, oh, this is too expensive. Yeah. And people, because of insecurities, instantly typically go, let's set the price so low that nobody would ever tell me this is too expensive.
So this super relates to something that like really bugged me, which is like, whether it's you're doing it through sales or the way you're saying, like, just go figure out what they're paying for today. Like if you just did that, the way you think about how to charge and the price you first lay out will probably hit the right mix. If you just figure out what they're paying for, how they're paying for those things, whether they're competitive to your product or not, someone's a buyer. What else does that buyer pay for and how much? I start asking them in customer development, well, I'd love to know what you're paying for today. What plan are you on?
Mm.
Right? Even if it's not competitive, what are you paying for? Like you in your role, what do you pay for that you're responsible for?
Yeah.
Right? If you're talking to a buyer, that's great.
Yeah.
Right? If you're talking to a user, you ask, what do you use? Do you know what plan you're on? What functionality does it have? Even if it's not related to what I'm trying to sell them or what I'm building, because then I have guidance. And then I can say, oh, it's even, I know this is not related, but it's cheaper than Kissmetrics.